Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm good. This is an episode I've been like excited for.
Me too. I've been trying to like read between the lines on the way you describe your spending and come up with my guess of what your total number is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been giving me great satisfaction to play this mind game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's really cold today. Unusual. I mean, it's been really oddly warm in Atlanta for January, but then today it's like, woke up and it's like 40 degrees again and what it should be probably for this time of year. And I was trying to think, like, I'm just all bundled up and I'm like, I don't know. I was trying to think of some metaphor for just the weather and icing me out. I don't know what it is. Something with, these numbers are hot though. They're hot off the press. They're hot. They're on fire. No, they're not on fire. I don't know. Because I guess if they were on fire, mine would be a lot smaller. Not to like tease, but mine are pretty high.
Well, when a couple weeks ago, you came over to drop off some bread, which was amazing, by the way, and my parents were visiting, and my dad asked you how you were doing, and you were like, I'm doing great, although I am, quote, hemorrhaging money. And I'm like,
money.
I've never heard her use that word before. I think this must be dramatic.
Yeah, I've been using that word a lot lately. I am hemorrhaging money. I mean, I think this would I don't know what we'll decide what percentage. You know how like a couple means two, few means three or more.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure out the different words. Like hemorrhaging means, you know, X percent more than last year. We'll figure out like what we're just, you know, splurging means something. Hemorrhaging means something. We'll have to figure out our definition of terms and how much they actually mean. Okay, so we're gonna do our full year spending review. Last year, we did this with our spouses.
That was fun.
And in complete transparency, guys, just so you know the like planning that goes into these podcasts, this morning, an hour before we're recording, when I'm kind of prepping some of my numbers, I'm copying our show notes from last year for the template, basically. And then I was like, oh, we included our spouses last year. Huh, that would have been a good idea. But it was too late. Like, we didn't plan and, you know, schedule them. And you know, we don't need them, right?
They are not professional podcasters like us.
Yeah. I was just saying none of us were professional podcasters, but no, you're right. We're professional podcasters. I already have Greg's commentary on some stuff, so I can represent
and
his
I
view.
Have also reviewed this in detail with Britta. So
perfect. That was
our
actually one of my questions.
Spouses are here in spirit.
Yeah, that was one of my questions for you, Mike, is have you and Britta done like a detailed review
where
you discuss this? Okay. Well, I asked that because, I mean, it is January 5th that we're recording this, and so it's Thursday. This episode will go live on Sunday night, so in 4 days. And so, you know, we've only had, like, it takes a few days for this stuff to clear, just even, like, credit card charges and stuff. Like, they often don't show up until a couple days later, like in Mint as confirmed charges. And so we were just able to finish ours late last night and go through it. So, I mean, this is literally like hot off the press for us because we use Mint. You do things manually. So yours are probably ready a little bit more in real time.
Oh, yeah. Real time. It's the only way I like to do my analysis.
Yeah. Now, we're still going back and like fixing some November things and just categorizing some things, cleaning up some categorizations late last night. But we're ready. And you should definitely go first. But before we even
share the
numbers.
I don't want to go first. I want you to go first.
No. I'll tell you why you're going to go first. You know, it's like ladies first. I feel like you should get a turn to go first. But before we do that, let's just give like the really quick reminder on why and how we track our expenses. Right. So why do we track our expenses, Mike?
Because what gets measured gets better. And if you are not in the details and analyzing your lifestyle in real time, stuff gets out of control and you lose the ability to manage it.
This is a great year of why tracking expenses is so important. I've known throughout the year that we were running very high on things, and I'm, you know, made some conscious decisions, which we'll talk about, some that I couldn't control, some that I could control. And knowing this number and really like digesting it, it's motivating me to want to get kind of, you know, like back on track next year or this year, right, in 2023. And so if I wasn't measuring this to the level of detail that we're measuring it, it would be really hard for me to get better on it, right? And again, you can still have your kind of high and low years, and you can have years that you do better or worse, but you got to measure it to just know where you're at. And so like we just said, we use Mint, Greg uses Mint to track our expenses. We have like all our accounts running through it. A couple times a month, he'll pull stuff up and ask me what things were so that he can categorize them properly. And this past year, we got down to like breaking up Target receipts into like groceries versus toiletries versus a birthday present for someone's birthday party or something. And so our categorization is probably the best it's ever been this year. And then Mike, you go the good old fashioned route, right?
I do it all in Excel, similar to our tracking file that we have on our Etsy store. And I do this manually because I think there's great value in pulling out a receipt, typing in the number, and having that experience. It keeps you very close to your expenses. Sometimes it's painful if it was an expense you didn't really want to do. But the other thing is the way I analyze things. If I have a consistent tracking methodology in Excel, I've been doing this since 2014. And so I'm able to compare the same categories, same numbers, like year over year. And I'm going to share some of that analysis today.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about going a little bit hybrid this year and doing more of what you do. Like we save our receipts and they help because we'll go back and look and see like, oh, what was in that Target order. And so we've been doing that for the first time this past year. But I actually want to have to like kind of log things a little bit more in real time because I do think it will make me more day to day aware of what mm-hmm. I'm spending. And so I am thinking about kind of a hybrid approach, even just in the short term while I get some things, you know, back on track.
While you stop the hemorrhaging is what you're saying.
Yeah, while I stop the hemorrhaging, right? And so the other things to note as we share our numbers, this doesn't capture any of our income. This is only focused on our expenses. And then with both of our expenses, we're not including any of our rental business expenses because that's a separate kind of business that we each have separately. Mike and I both have some rental properties. And so that is tracked separately. And then for Greg and I, we're not including our child support in these numbers. For a couple of reasons. One, just for privacy reasons, but also because it's not a controllable expense for us. And that's, it's kind of like, you know, for me, it's a form of income. For him, it's an expense. And we just don't include those in the numbers. And then also, Mike and I both have paid off our houses as a reminder. Mm-hmm. And so you won't see any like mortgage rent type costs in our numbers. Some of my home numbers look like I might have a mortgage going on, but there's no mortgage.
And then one more caveat. We sometimes get questions about this. For the first half of the year for you and for the full year for me, we are not including our medical insurance premiums because what I have always done is I always consider that a reduction of income because it's yep. it's part of my compensation package at work. But for the second half of the year for you, Maggie, this was actually an out-of-pocket expense. You had no income. It was not deducted from anything. So you were including that in your numbers.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it was quite large, which we'll talk about.
So. Yeah. All right. So you need me to go first?
I want you to go first. I don't need you to go first, but I want you to go first. I think it'll be more fun to hear a reasonable level of expenses mm-hmm. and then to hear ours.
Okay. Now, I already kind of sent you like a chart which showed all my expenses over the years. So doing Prices Right is not going to be as exciting.
For what it's worth, I don't actually have that or really remember the numbers.
Okay. So what do you think I spent this year?
I'll guess. So I, by the way, I did pull up what we both spent last year.
Okay.
We had done a nice social media post even and summarize it. Last year, you spent for your family of four, $78,546. I think, well, you had a goal to reduce it by 15%, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even think I set a goal. Hopefully I didn't, because I didn't make it. I think you were right around there, if not a little bit less, but you did a lot of DIY work. So I'm just going to guess 80,000 to keep it simple.
80,737.
Wow. Look at that. Price is Right style. I didn't go over, and yeah, it was spot on.
So I did not hit my savings target.
That's okay. I'm going to let that slide this year for you, if you let it slide for me.
But here's a good Price is Right. Since 2014, my first full year measuring this, what is the average I've spent?
75?
$80,029.
Wow. That's very consistent to past year also.
My expenses were flat and very much in line with what I've been doing for almost 10 years now, which feels pretty good. Now, you might look at that and say, well, you're obviously like nothing's changing in your lifestyle. But when you dig into these numbers, and I'll share some of this, everything's changing. Like the mix of these expenses is all over the place. And so it's actually kind of a weird coincidence that the number comes out to be the same almost every single year.
Yeah, it is fascinating, because I do remember when you sent me some stuff, like it was like a couple of month or two ago, on your expenses since 2014. By the way, that's the sort of fun stuff that Mike and I share. That's the spirit of Friends on Fire. It's like, it's fun to see, you know, this kind of stuff from other people. But I remember thinking the same thing. Like, it is fascinating that average is so consistent, given like you've had massive childcare year costs. And then, but let me ask you a question. Are you managing it to some extent? Like, for example, I know you'll talk about this, but this past year you had higher home improvement expenses, like you did your deck project and some really cool stuff. Would you have not done that if the kids had high daycare costs and you knew that that was going to put you way over 80,000 a year?
Consciously, no. I would not have like decided to do or not do something based on my other spending. Subconsciously, maybe.
Okay.
I think I... Listen, I've been doing this a long time. I'm probably at the point where like I just see numbers and have kind of intuitive sense about how those make me feel, and then will subconsciously change my behavior. It is not like a decision I'm making. I'm not depriving myself of anything. I'm not sacrificing anything. It just sort of like, it just sort of happens.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because I've had a lot of decisions this year that are based on that. Based on some like not necessarily fully conscious decisions, but that I think were, I don't even know how to describe it, but I know exactly what you mean when you say like consciously versus subconsciously.
So let me run through some categories, because this is okay. Fun. I did a comparison year over year, and this is in order of top expense. So in descending order, for travel, I spent 118% more. So I spent $14,500. But this one is kind of interesting, because I actually have paid for a lot of travel for 2023. And last year, in 2020, I would have done the same, but I used points. So I didn't actually have very large expenses in 21 for my 22 travel. But this is one where it's like, I didn't even question it. Travel's my top priority in life. I'm just going to spend what I'm going to spend. Now, I am looking for deals all the time. I travel hack like crazy. We travel very modestly. So this is stuff that I'm like actively managing, but it's not like I was like, well, we're not going to take that flight because I want to control my expenses. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Next category is home improvement. It was down 12% because in 2021, we had wood floors installed on our second floor. So this year I spent $13,290, which includes redoing my deck, building the storage room under the deck, and the screened-in patio under the deck. So huge projects, but I did all the labor myself. So this is just materials. Yeah.
And in 2021, you paid someone else to do the labor on your floors. And so that, you know, that's the difference. Yeah. That's interesting.
But we also had, like, I had $1,000 to install some new fans in my attic because those broke. I had $1,000 to do a whole home surge protector. I had $1,200 to fix my furnace. I had a lot of like stuff break this year, which is non-controllable. Got to do it. All right. Next activity, kids. So kids activities, sports, daycare, down 52%. And so we spent $9,129. And this was because we were paying for them to be like in a, I don't know what you call it, like a monitored homeschool thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, during COVID.
Yeah, during so this was still happening in early 2021, and we were paying them. We had a group that was doing this, and so that was pretty expensive. So 9,000.
That's crazy. That was still in 2021,
right?
Wait. No, we're talking about 2022 expenses.
Yes, yeah, so I'm saying my expenses were down in 52%.
Oh, why they're down? Okay, sorry.
So $9,000 last year too is like a normal run rate. I looked at this. Okay, that's my all their sports and activities and stuff. That's the run rate. Groceries up 8% to $7,500, which is actually pretty good considering that my dining expenses, so like eating out, including coffee and all that sort of stuff, was down 7%. So this one I want to talk about for a second because inflation for food was huge. Like, I don't know the numbers, but it's like 20, 30%. Everything's more expensive. Now, my cost per meal this past year was up 3%. So I take my total eating out expenses, my total groceries, and I divide by 365 days, four people, three meals a day, and that cost per meal was up 3%, which means that we actually were more efficient and cost effective in our sustenance, which was planned. We actually did meal planning this year. We were trying to be a little more structured about it, and it paid off.
Hey, what was your total of eating out plus groceries combined?
Eating out plus groceries, $10,306.
Wow, that's actually one category where I was going to say we spent less than you, but we track our food travel under travel. And so that's not really a fair comparison.
Right.
But at home groceries, I mean, we spent under $6,000, right at $5,900. A lot more eating out, like $2,600 on eating out. I'm going to give you some teases that add up to a hemorrhaging money later. But that was one of our that's one of the categories I'm actually proudest of is our food.
Yeah.
Our combined food and alcohol. Food, alcohol, and bars. So groceries, restaurants, eating, and any sort of bars. We were under 10,000. We were at like 9,100.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I always include any expenses that I would normally have at home that I do while traveling, I include in their respective categories, not in travel. I have to eat every day. It's not like when I'm traveling, I don't eat. And so I want to make sure that I'm looking at it consistently year over year, regardless of like where I am.
Yeah, that's what's tough is I kind of have the same view on like things that I would normally do, but that's what gets so dicey during travel is like, I don't eat the way I eat at home when I'm traveling. And I also really don't want to like itemize receipts and like have to keep all that stuff. Like I want to travel. I want to enjoy myself. And I'll tell you later what that adds up to, right? When I'm just like, I don't want to have to like itemize all this crap. Yeah.
And in case people are wondering, it's not like I was like, you know, traveling, eating ramen noodles. We went to nice hotels and nice restaurants. We were eating really well on these trips. And also this includes like when I take my team at work out for lunch or I'm buying my parents dinner or whatever, all that stuff's in here. Anything that's food related goes into these numbers.
Okay, what else is next?
All right, utilities, $5,400, up 1%, which again, I'm pretty impressed with considering.
What do you include in your utilities?
I include power. I include water. I include internet, gas, cell phone, and my security system. So it's not technically like all home utilities, but it's all the stuff that's just recurring.
Yeah, that is everything that we include also. Which is why this is a good one, like that's kind of easier to compare. What was yours again?
$5,400.
Our utilities was $3,500 and it includes all the same things you have except for cell phone. Say that again. What'd you spend on power?
$1,755.
Ours was $1,508.
Pretty good.
What'd you spend on gas?
$729.
$903.
Okay.
I think that's my bread baking, and I'm not even joking. It takes a massive amount of power. Actually, you know what? I have a gas, and I have a hybrid gas and whatever. That would actually go to electricity, the bread making.
Okay.
The oven runs off the electricity. So never mind. Bad theory. Might be my long hot showers. Okay. Water and trash.
I don't pay for trash.
Water and sewer, isn't it?
Water and sewer.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
986.
436. What is happening at your house with water?
That's a good question.
That's very high. But whatever. Maybe look into it. That is really high.
Well, we have a sprinkler system in our yard. That's probably what it is.
Oh, do you use it a lot?
In the summer, sometimes.
Do you need it?
Yeah.
Do you really need it?
We barely use it, but when we use it, it's expensive.
But that's an interesting. I mean, that's more than double our water. And mm-hmm. We use a lot of water. I got three girls. They take long showers, yeah. Like very long showers. And I actually take very long showers also, and a lot of baths. So that'd be an interesting one for you to look into, just of like, is it like, is your grass going to die if you don't? I mean, we don't run a sprinkler system and our grass is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Okay. Internet.
990.
489.
And we talked about this one. So I have gig speed.
Yeah.
And I actually, based on your, like we were talking about it, because I was paying 95 and you were telling me about some deal that you got. And I actually called and got it down to 80 for the same service and includes HBO, which I really like. So it's a good deal for me.
And then our alarm is 208.
How much do you pay a month?
We use SimpliSafe and we pay. And then I also have Arlo cameras, which don't have a monthly cost on them.
Mm-hmm.
I just get like notifications when they go off. SimpliSafe, it used to be $14.99 a month for half the year. And then it shifted to $17.99 a month in May.
And it's monitored?
Yeah, it's monitored. Calls the police.
Nice. Yeah. Let's look into
that. We installed it ourselves. We have a hardwired system in our house and we used to use it, but the monitoring got ridiculously expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we switched to SimpliSafe a few years ago and love it.
Cool.
And our locks are all tied into it now. So our door locks, and it's great. Yeah, like too. When you open the door, it turns the alarm off and it's great.
All right. So Those were like my big categories. No big surprises except for on car expenses. We spent 335% more. So $2,013 because I had a coolant thing that had to be repaired. And then we had to get new tires for Britta's car. So it was an expensive car year. Otherwise, everything's pretty normal.
So what are you most like proud of versus most like, you know, what went well and then what you're even better if? Like, what do you want to improve next year aside from your water?
I think the food I'm really happy with. Because we had not so much a cost issue, although we had talked about it. We just go to the grocery store and buy all the stuff that we'd normally buy. We had no plans for any meals. And we started doing that. And it's made a difference, both with just the kind of underlying stress we have for meal planning all the time and the cost associated with it. So I'm really proud of that one. I'm really proud of the home improvement stuff. Not so much the expense, but the work I was able to do for that amount of dollars. Really happy with that. And what could be better? Well, after talking to you, probably my electric, water, and alarm system.
Not really your electric.
Yeah,
you're right. More your utilities. But hey, those are small amounts, you know? Those aren't going to... That's going to change something by maybe $1,000. Not that that's not a meaningful amount of money, but I could spend that amount of money in like 5 minutes. So. on that note... Okay. Do you want to switch?
I want to hear your numbers.
Okay. Well, I want you to guess, but I want to remind you of something that you can have a more educated guess. This does not include the Tesla. And I'll tell you why. It's truly a business expense. We're going to do an episode on this.
Okay.
And so I include the number, like I know how much we spent with it. Same thing with child support, but for the purposes of a comparative year, we did buy a Tesla. We paid for it outright. I teased it. I've kind of like briefly said it in a couple episodes, the last couple. And I've actually had a few people like DM us on Instagram and be like, what are you just like sliding in that reference? Like we need more details. What's going on? And so we are going to do a full episode on it because it's a very unique situation, and I'll just leave it as a tease with that.
But I'd like to know how much it costs, though.
I was going to say we bought a Tesla 3. Technically, Greg bought a Tesla 3. It's in the like I mean, the fully loaded cost.
Yeah, of course.
Was like in, well, I just mean like with, you know, ad valorem tax and everything. It's like not the cost of the car. So there's the fully loaded cost. And then, gosh, under 50, high 40s, 48, okay. 49, something like that. It might have crossed over 50 with ad valorem tax. I know like the cost of the full purchase was like 47 something. And Tesla had a rebate. So it was like half the federal rebate. But it came from Tesla, not the government, so you don't have to wait for it. Yeah, so it was like 40-something. And actually, that might have included ad valorem tax. It is truly like on Greg's P&L, if that makes sense. You know, we do have separate finances, technically. Everything I'm sharing today are our family's expenses, so both of our expenses. But the car is a business expense, and we'll get into how and why. Not our rental properties. We're not doing anything shady. It's truly a business expense, and we'll explain why. Soon, but for now, I'm going to leave you in suspense. Mike knows how and why, but I'm going to, it's just a longer discussion, so I'm not going to get into it today. Okay, so with that removed, last year, I'll just remind you, we spent $81,656.
$110.
I was off. Your guess was more accurate than my guess was, for what it's worth. And I would like to just say, prior to sharing this number, we actually were under budget. We don't truly budget, but Greg does load estimated amounts in Mint, so we can kind of look at it each month of like what we think, but we don't treat it like a budget. We're not like, oh, we're under budget. Let's spend, you know what I mean? Like we did have a loaded budget in Mint, and we actually were under it. So
congratulations.
Yeah, that's like, I guess. Okay, so you're guessing 110. The number is 107107, which I just think is hilarious because just the, like, coincidental that, I'm not kidding, we track things down to the penny and that was the number. The number, we track it with child support on our end, so the number was different with that. But when I pulled out child support, I was like, oh, 107107. What a fun.
This actually number. Isn't as bad as I thought based on all your comments.
It was actually worse than I thought. Well, throw in a Tesla and then call it, you know, 157. Oh, yeah. You know, So I thought we were around 100 in my head. So when Greg did the total last night, and we were, you know, double checking a few things and mainly just cleaning up some categorization, I was like, okay, that's a little higher than I was expecting, because in my head I was sort of tallying, like I knew we were around 80 last year, but again, 81,656. It is a 31.17% increase versus 2021. I think it's supposed to go the opposite direction mm-hmm. in early retirement.
Yeah.
But look, I'll go through this, but just as a summary, look, we had a lot of moments where we were like, this is our last year working. Like if there was ever going to be a time that we sort of splurge on something, now's the time, which isn't necessarily even like whether we do it now or, you know, in 2 years, like what's the difference? But we definitely had a little bit of like that mentality in our spending. We'll go through some of this. I'm not sure I'd have like a lot of regrets on stuff. But yeah, let me just rattle off.
All right.
Where we are. Cause when you hear it broken down, like a lot of it was, not a lot of it. I was going to say some of it was medical was massive. That was the one that like I kind of knew throughout the year. I was like adding up stuff in my head. It was very large. There was only one thing in it that was controllable. But anyways, okay. So 107,000. Number one, I'm going to go like top to bottom. Number one most expensive category. I'm guessing you know what it
travel.
Is, Mike. Travel. That was 30,000. 497. And that includes, like Mike said, that includes a little bit of like stuff that we've already paid for like next year, but it did last year too. So it's, you know, comparable. About 20,000 of that was our 6 week Europe trip. And then the rest of that was, you know, a lot of other trips that we did, this past year. I think they were amazing, but at the moment I can't even remember, what they were. Where did we go this past year? Somewhere amazing. I feel like I put it in the holiday card, but we went to Europe for 6 weeks. And so again, I never have much, you know, I don't think twice about the travel number. It's my priority and I like spending on it. Oh, and that to our discussion earlier, 5,000 of that, about 4,900, was travel food. we don't really track things super, like, I remember when we were even like going through and categorizing our expenses for travel, we had 6 weeks of nothing but travel. So, I mean, we had lots of expenses where we're like, oh, we were somewhere and like, we might've bought some food and done an activity and like, it was all on one receipt. Right. And so we didn't track it super cleanly. And so that's a rough estimate at best. And most of that is all from June and July when we were in Europe. And we were pretty like spendy. We were eating out like a lot. And so anyways, that's travel. Next highest one is actually home, which was a little surprise, not super surprising to me once I broke it down. But within that home category we bought a new couch. That was a couple thousand dollars. I love our new couch. I hadn't bought a couch in 15 years, so I have no regrets there. Love it. Our lawn service, which Greg and I were every time we look at it, our total lawn service expenses are, it went up a little bit. The company raised their prices a little bit, I'd say by a reasonable amount considering like the cost of gas and everything. But our total expense was $1,780, which is a lot and more than your sprinkler. And I said to Greg for like the 10th time last night, I was like, hey dude, like, you know, that's a neat, we could cut that. And we're both equally not interested in doing yard work at this point in our lives. If it was just mowing the lawn, I'm all there. I'm there for it. We have a large, like, I mean, I can't describe to you the amount of hedges and, is that the right word?
Hedges, yeah.
Shrubs and hedges and stuff in our yard. And I mean, like our yard guys have cut our internet twice. You got to get like on ladders to get to them. Like they're not, it's not simple work. And so they're so quick and efficient. And I like supporting, I love they're like a nice local business. So that's one where it's like someday, if I was like actually tight on money, totally would do it myself. But I just, both of us look at each other and are like, nope, no interest. We had to take some trees down. That was a couple thousand dollars. We just like home insurance is in this one. Our home property taxes are pretty expensive and are in this one. I mean, our property taxes are almost $7,000, even though I fought them this year. We just, you know, it adds up and it was, you know, it added up to $21,000. I don't know if I said the total, but $21,000 in home. Also, we moved the kids' room. So like we had bought, you know, a couple of new pieces of furniture tied to that move. Okay, the next one is medical. This one is interesting. It was $18,770. So it was a big one. And I had my TMJ treatment, which worked and was successful, but it was out of pocket, like $4,000. And I chose to do that back at the beginning of the year when I was still working. Mentally, it felt better when I had a paycheck coming in to pay for it. I have high deductible plans. So you can see like when I went to the dermatologist, it cost me $200. When I went to urgent care and had tried not to go for months and then finally was so sick I had to go, it was $200. So every time I like go to the doctor, it's like $200 with on a high deductible plan. Insurance was half of this number. So like you said, Mike, we were paying COBRA rates for insurance and we were paying about $1,400 a month for the second half of the year. And so that was about half of this number. Kate had I had a crown, a dental crown, which was like $2,000, not barely covered by insurance. Actually, I didn't have dental insurance when that happened because I'm not doing dental insurance, but the price with dental insurance would have been like very similar, which is why we're not doing dental insurance. Doesn't cover much. But Kate had that like emergency oral surgery. There's just a lot of stuff in medical. Not much I could do about that one, but that's one that will be significantly lower next year. So I'm pretty excited that 18,000 or that almost 19,000 this year should be like, I don't know, 4,000 next year if all goes well. So that's an exciting one that will go down. Our food was $9,000. Our next biggest category was food, $9,156. I mentioned that earlier, Mike. That was a combination of groceries, which was about $6,000 for us, eating out, which was $2,600 when we weren't traveling. So our eating out is pretty consistent most months. And then when we were traveling, it just, you know, spikes. And then that includes any alcohol in bars, which we track separately also. So that was about 9,000. And then our next biggest category was kids, and that was about $9,000 also. And that includes like kids' activities. So kind of like yours, Mike, it's actually pretty close to your number. Your number was like $9,000 too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That includes volleyball, which was pretty expensive. Kate did basketball. There was Girls on the Run, like a running thing. We bought Six Flags season passes this year. That was almost $500. We've very much used them a lot and gotten our money's worth. And it's been like a really fun family activity for us, our kids, and their friends. But that was just a big category for us. And then, you know, everything below that is, you know, pretty small. I mean, as small as in like, they're all like 5,000 and under. So, our, you know, next biggest one under that was auto, which was not the new car. That's mostly insurance. I think that's it. I've got some like high level summaries. I mean, I can go through the categories after that, but.
All right. Well, what were you most proud of, and
even before that, let me just mention a couple other big things that are like, just, we had a lot of big expenses. So, I mean, just in the, I started to kind of categorize this stuff into like 10,000 plus stuff, like 5,000 plus categories, and then like under five, but big stuff, like big expenses we incurred. And it'll kind of get into the like what went well, what I want to do better on, even better if. Look, insurance and medical was really expensive. Just aside from insurance, we had some big medical things hit. I think I spent $6,000 just on my mouth this year. Hopefully that doesn't happen next year. And so that's one where like even better if will be that medical will be much less expensive next year. And we're going to do a whole episode on the marketplace plans and what that's going to cost us. Travel was obviously really expensive. That's a what went well for me. I feel really good about it. And I feel really good about what we're spending on food and groceries as a family. Even if I were to like itemize in travel and stuff, like the food we're spending while traveling, I still feel good about it. I think we spend less than the average family on that. And home, like I said, we had a lot of expenses that I don't expect to have next year. So that'll be an even better if. I still feel good about the purchases, but I'm planning on pulling that back. Who knows where kids' sports and activities will land next year. I was going to say like not good or bad feelings on that. It's important to me. I want my kids to participate in the stuff. I wish they did less expensive things, but I'm not going to, you know, be overly controlling about that. We redid our wills this year, which cost a couple $1,000s, and a lot had changed since we had done them. We were like just about to get married when we had last done them, and a lot had changed. Like even some of the people that were like our executors, like aren't really in our lives as much. And so we really needed to update some stuff. And so,
what do I get in your updated will? I assume that you put me in there for something.
You didn't get anything in the first one, nor the second one. If I didn't have kids, you might get something, you know?
You are getting my soap making supplies when I die.
Oh, right. Oh, you can have my bread making supplies.
Ooh, perfect.
They're not really worth that much. And it costs so much to update the will.
Neither of my soap making supplies. Yeah. It's even.
I'm not sure I could, at this point, it's too expensive to update it. So we'll just have to put it on record on this podcast that you can have Greg or whoever is around. Oh my God, I get kind of depressed when I even think about these topics. But like anyone, you know, yes, Mike can have my sourdough bread making supplies.
Great.
And my podcast, Mike. Okay. You know, the lawn service is one that always kind of like gets me, but I'm always, you know, whatever. Last one I'll mention.
Okay.
This is where expense tracking really matters. It was low enough on the list that I didn't highlight it. But clothing was high for us this year. And gosh, I wish I could look up what it was last year. It's just not right in front of me. But it wasn't this high. So I guess what I spent on clothing this past year? I didn't have a job for half the year, Mike.
So. $2,000?
Yeah, that's like spot on. $1,950.
Nice. Guess how much my whole family spent on clothing?
By the way, that was just me, not anyone else.
Oh, okay. Kids guess clothing. What my family is.
What, your whole family?
Yeah.
$650.
$639.
Oh, look at our guessing is like
spot down
on.
10% year over year.
That's impressive. I don't know what mine's up because I just don't have the right numbers in front of me right now. But that's just me. That's not the kids, and that's not Greg. And Greg wanted me to, since we mentioned like our spouses are obviously, in case no one's noticed, not on this episode. Greg wanted me to clarify. I was like noting my kind of things that could go better. Greg was like, can you please clarify that's your clothing and not Greg's? Greg's was like a few hundred. And then when I said that, I was like, okay, but I would like to note that you spent almost $1,000 on protein and vitamins. And so I was like, so we all have our vices of things we spend money on. The thing about the clothing for me is like, I feel fine about purchases where I'm like, we bought a new couch. It was $2,000. I love it. I feel like we got a good price on it. It's beautiful. It makes me happy. It's comfortable. We love it. And I hadn't, again, it's not like I had just bought a new couch 3 years earlier. So I feel very good about that. The clothing one, what I don't like about it is that I don't know where it went. I'm like, I have to be like, what did I, like, where did that, what happened? You know, like, and
I think I could tell you.
Well, it's 90% athleisure. I'm going to do, I think Liz gets loaded had asked me.
Well, you
me
bought
to do
a number
a
of running shoes. You bought $217 jeans.
I bought a pair of $200 jeans. Yep, those are in here. Well, I got $50 off them with my Amex platinum benefit.
$150 jeans.
Yeah, $150. Get it right, Mike. Jeez.
But you probably had like three pairs of $150 running shoes, right?
Two, maybe. One. Here's one. Two pairs of running shoes this year. And then I did buy I bought a pair of Adidas shoes that I love. They're not running shoes. They're just Stan Smiths, I think is what they're called. But like casual leisure shoes. They go very nicely with my $200 jeans. I spent a lot of money at REI. I need to not go in REI. I have a problem in there. And I just spent, it's all athleisure. I don't know a better way to summarize it. And so I need to rein it in. And I shall. Liz Gets Loaded said I should do a reel of all the athleisure I bought this year. I will at some point when I can. And I actually kind of want to like lay it all out and look at it and be like, do I feel like I'm, you know, $2,000 richer or happier as a result of this? So anyways, I'd say my biggest one that is truly controllable, you know, like the benefit, the insurance one and medical cost will go down and it is, you know, somewhat controllable, but a lot of it's not. And the clothing one is the one where I'm like, you know, it's not my biggest expense. I mean, that 107 would have been 105 in our annual expenses. And, but I don't need it. And when I really think about like what I value, I have enough clothes. And so that's a big one that I am, gonna try to get under control this year. And at some point, oh, you know what my goal for clothing is this year? I am not allowed to spend more than I make from selling clothes.
Oh,
so that's
I like
my
that.
Rule. I basically have to be, and I don't, by the way, I sell stuff on Poshmark all the time. I don't track that against what I've spent on clothing. So this is what I spent out of pocket. I probably made $500 on Poshmark this year, but it's not like I subtract it. But for 2023, I still will keep my budget the same way. So it's, you know, year over year comparables, but I'm not allowed to spend more than I make.
Well, as your accountability partner, I look forward to checking in with you on this.
Yeah. I found myself in Lululemon with my kids in the last few days when we were off school and they were like trying to return some stuff from Christmas. And I was looking at things and I was like, Greg, what am I doing? We're like 2 days into the new year and I'm standing here looking at something I don't need. And I had to just like, you know, I had to be like, I just had to like check myself and remind myself like, I don't value this enough, right? It's so easy to spend in that category. And I wear it and I, you know, whatever, but I don't need it.
Well, Maggie, I'm surprised by how well you did based on the way you were talking about it.
Yeah. Well, that's my version of hemorrhaging money, right? Is like,
that's really not that bad.
But I wasn't looking. I was sort of just like, my eyes were closed and I was like, I don't know what this is going to be. This could be 100, or I guessed 100,000 to Greg. And I was like, it could have been 130 for all I knew.
Yeah. You know, I think one big takeaway for both of us, and this is the reason that tracking is so important, is that like we had major expenses that were just like unforeseen and stuff that you can't plan for. And so if you're setting a budget in all these different categories, there's going to be a handful of budgets that just like you blow past because stuff happens. You need to repair your car. You need to repair your house. You have medical stuff that comes up. And so like, it's important to continually look at all of your categories and work to control them, because there's just stuff that happens in life and it gets expensive. And I think we both saw that to varying degrees in all these different categories.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And this is our, for Greg and I, we've had a number of discussions about this. Again, we like consciously knew we were spending more in 2022 and we were okay with it. We were kind of like, we just had this like weird, we were in a weird mental space on spending money, right? Again, I've talked about it in some previous episodes. Right when I stopped working, I went through some just more like scarcity mindset spending habits that I didn't love. And then I got into an abundance mindset. There's something in the middle, right? So yeah, we're excited for 2023. It's our first full calendar year, or like fiscal year, Mike, of us being early retired. And I think we're both motivated to not have a scarcity mindset around money, but just be very thoughtful and intentional about what we are spending money on. And also after this past year, you know, we're just motivated to see how kind of tight's the wrong word, but how much lower we can get it. So I think in our goals episode, I said I'd be 15% down on my spending. I think my goal should probably be more like 20% down. I'd like to get back to the 80,000 range. But when I did our estimates for early retirement, I mean, I had ranges of us spending 100,000 a year. So I mean, we're not far off of, you know, what we estimated and kind of the comfortable range that we can be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my goal is to also reduce that 15%. And that would get me a little under 70, which I think is pretty reasonable. And when I was talking to Britta about this and we were reviewing expenses and talking about goals, the way that I framed it up for her, it was something that I hadn't done previously. But every dollar that we cut off from our, you know, run rate of happy lifestyle makes us significantly, quote unquote, richer. And so if you think about the 4% rule and having 25 times your annual spending, if you can cut $10,000 from your expenses every year and be perfectly happy, the same level of happiness you were prior to that, that's 25 times, $250,000 less that you need in order to be financially independent. And so that's the way that I always think about this. Like, I'm not depriving myself. If I can find ways to still be happy and reduce my expenses, I keep getting richer and richer. I get more flexibility and more flexibility. It is something that I continually want to improve because it has a lifelong impact for me. So that was an interesting conversation we had.
Yeah, I like that conversation. And my thing is, you know, if it doesn't affect my happiness, right? And I'm pretty in tune with like what does and doesn't affect my happiness, right? Like, I mean, that clothing stuff is a good example. There are certain things when I like really do need a kind of staple piece in my wardrobe that's worn out or something like that. And I mean, running shoes is a good example. Like I'm getting older. There is value in having, like, when you put too many miles on a pair of running shoes, like it can mess up your body to not have the right level of kind of cushioning and support. And so that's something I value, right? And I really want to focus on, kind of to the point of what you guys were saying, the stuff that does or doesn't make me happy, and pulling out, like, the yard service makes Greg and I both really happy because we're not doing it, right? We would rather spend our time on other things and we can afford it. That's a big thing I've been on lately, is like that sort of intersection of like value and intentionality and also what you can afford, because there's a lot of things that if I couldn't afford it, I know I would be willing to cut out. But because I can, and because it doesn't, like all that math you just shared is a good example, Mike. That, you know, me spending $107,000 last year, it doesn't affect my long-term financial goals in a meaningful way. Like, yes, technically I would have more money if I hadn't spent that much, but I have too many, like, I've had too many friends dying lately, and just people my age, and I don't even know the right way to say it, but like I want to enjoy my life, right? And I want to figure out that kind of intersection of intentionality with what I can reasonably spend and not be impacting the future of, you know, myself or my kids or my family.
So I will, I'll challenge you on one thing, Maggie. And, you know, I think you're right. you know, you can afford all this stuff. And I think if anybody looks at any one thing in isolation, it doesn't have an impact. But it, you know, when we talk about compound interest and the effect of saving over time, you know, like a quick calculation, if you were to find, let's do $1,000 every year that you cut out for 50 years. So let's assume that you're going to live till 90. I bet you'll live till 95 or 100. And 7% growth, that's $400,000 by the time you die. Now, it doesn't impact your goals. It doesn't impact your plan. It doesn't impact the way you live your life. But, you know, you could give that to charity when you die. You could give that to your kids when you die. I think there's a balance between what's really going to have a noticeable impact and the principle of being like really focused on values-based spending and knowing that in the future there's going to be some big number and you may not live to see it, but it's going to be an impact for somebody.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And there's things I can't predict that will happen, right? So something crazy happens that's really expensive and I might look back and have some regrets and be like, oh, well, you know, but I mean, that can happen in both directions, right? Something crazy can happen where I find out I've got 2 years to live and everyone else is well enough taken care of. And I've thought like, oh, I really needed that other Patagonia shirt from REI, you know, that would have made me so much happier in my last 2 years of life. I'm just kidding on that example, but I've not read this book, Mike, but the book Die with Zero is on my Libby list. I've been on the waiting list for it for a little while. And I don't actually fully know what it's about. I just know it's a finance book, but the title makes me think it's sort of, I mean, and the subtitle is like getting all you can from your money in your life. But the title of Die with Zero makes me think like it has this mentality that I don't want to die with zero per se, but I also don't want to live with a scarcity mindset, always planning for like something that not, and I don't, by the way, I don't think that's your point by any means, but I just think that's an interesting discussion on kind of, I want to be in the middle, right? I don't want to be overly frugal and concerned about money. And I also don't want to be overly not intentional about how I'm spending my money. I want to land in the middle, but there are people that are on both ends of it, right? There's a lot of people living on one extreme where they're just obliviously spending all their money and not planning for the future. And, you know, that the examples you just shared of kind of how much that money is worth in the future with compound interest are great examples. And then you've got other people who I think are, you know, overly scarce with their money and are not enjoying their lives as a result. Yeah. Right. And
well, that's why I keep caveating all these things without impacting happiness, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everyone's level is a little bit different on like, you know, what they care about and what they don't care about. You know, one thing I won't be spending a lot of money on in 2023, Mike.
Gas.
Soap. Well, gas also, but soap. Because I still haven't actually broken into it because I don't know if we haven't been showering a lot this month. Somehow we're still working through the bar of soap that's been in our shower since you gave me that soap. But I'm excited to. Mike gave me like a big pile of soap for Christmas, which you'll soon be seeing some reels about how Mike makes soap and the soap making process. But he gave me a lot of really nice. I'm mostly excited. I am the most excited about the peppermint scented soap because it's one of my favorite scents of all things. Okay, we should bring this one home.
Yeah, we've gotten a little off topic. Okay, this was a good discussion though, and. Very impressed with your spending, Maggie.
Yeah, thanks. I am impressed with your spending. Tell me your total one more time.
$80,737.
Okay. Okay. And just a recap, I am at $107,000 and $107,000. It's like awkward to say. $107,107.
Yep.
Okay. Should we do like super quick takeaways on this one?
All right. Number one. It's an important investment in your finances and relationships to track and review expenses with your partner.
Number two, you do you. This is personal finance. So back to the whole conversation Mike and I just had.
And number three, in addition to talking about with your partner, consider discussing some of your categories with your friends. You can learn a lot by seeing how other people live.
Yeah. And start with like the benign ones. Like when Mike and I were comparing like utility expenses, I think that's some of the most fascinating stuff because they're really... comparable, and just they're somewhat apples to apples, right? And it's just kind of interesting to see, like, oh, like your water bill is twice mine. Like, again, you may not care about that because you may love your sprinkler system, but I'm more just fascinated by, like, oh, that's so interesting to know that, like, you know, this is high, this is low, whatever it might be. And every now and then I'm also just really excited when there's some category that where I'm actually lower than Mike, because that so rarely happens. So. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. As always, if you have been challenged or inspired by what you have heard, we always love for you to rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you. And you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram. All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Here's hoping our 2023 spending is a little bit lower.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.